September.
Tom Service with this week's edition of Music Matters. The programme was produced by Jeremy Evans, and you can download the show as a podcast if you'd like at the Radio 3 website.
BBC Radio 3, Drama on 3.
Past is a foreign country. They do things differently there.
When an old man rereads his childhood diary, he encounters his younger self.
Why rake over the past?
Burn everything then, why don't you?
And relives his unwitting role in a forbidden relationship.
Will you do something for me?
Of course.
Give him a letter.
I was hoping you'd ask.
Oh, we sometimes write to each other on business matters. Do you like Mr. Burgess?
I like you.
A new adaptation of L.P. Hartley's novel, The Go-Between, starring Harriet Walter and Richard Griffiths. Drama on 3. Tomorrow night at 8:30 on BBC Radio 3.
Well, a very good afternoon to you here on BBC Radio 3. I'm Ian Skelly, here to guide you through the programmes this afternoon, which continue in just a moment with an invitation to an abbey in Switzerland to hear how it played a crucial role in the development of medieval chant. That's in the early music show. But the time is just after 1 o'clock, and first, a summary of the BBC News this lunchtime. Nearly 80 people have been killed in flash floods caused by torrential rain in southern Russia. Officials say the homes of 13,000 people have been flooded in the Krasnodar region. The impact of heavy rain over the past 24 hours is being felt across the UK. The Environment Agency has issued severe warnings for parts of the River Bride in Dorset and the River Yelm in South Devon. That means there's a danger to life. There are more than 70 lower warnings in England and 13 in Scotland. Residents in the Leicestershire village of Sheepy Magna have been moved from their homes because of flooding. And in Northamptonshire, people with tickets for today's qualifying session of the British Grand Prix at Silverstone have been turned away because of waterlogged car parks. Labour has accused the government of stalling over changes to the funding of social care in England. Ministers are expected to commit to capping the amount that older people have to pay towards the cost of home visits or care homes, but the level of the cap won't be decided until the autumn of next year. The government says it still hopes to legislate before the next general election. Police have made a seventh arrest in London as part of an investigation into suspected terrorist offences. A 22-year-old woman was detained overnight at a house in Hackney. People in Libya are voting in their first national election in almost 50 years. Voting in some eastern areas, including Benghazi, has been disrupted by protesters burning ballot boxes. A stretch of the official Olympic Games route for driving between central London and Heathrow Airport has been closed for up to 5 days after engineers discovered a new crack. The M4 has been shut in both directions between junctions 1 and 3. Serena Williams will be competing for her fifth Wimbledon tennis singles title this afternoon. There's also a British finalist in the men's doubles, Johnny Murray, and his Danish partner, Freddie Nielsen, will be on court later. Well, what of the weather for those matches? Heavy rain in southwest England will gradually ease, but persistent rain will remain in central and eastern Scotland this afternoon. Elsewhere, a mixture of sunshine and showers. Overnight, outbreaks of rain will continue in many areas, with northern Scotland and Northern Ireland seeing the most persistent rain. Well, that's the BBC News and the weather. And next this afternoon on Radio 3, it's time to join Lucy Skeeping for the Early Music Show.
Welcome to the Early Music Show, and yes, it doesn't get much earlier than the music we have in today's programme. If you've ever been to a Christian mass, you'll know that traditionally parts of it are sung or chanted. these chants or melodies can be traced back to earliest times. And although they've become associated with Pope Gregory I, they're more likely to be a synthesis of Roman and Frankish chants from a few hundred years later. In fact, it probably wasn't until the 10th century that the chants were codified and organised, so that in every church, every cathedral and monastery throughout Western and Central Europe, more or less the same melodies were sung. However, quite a lot of the texts and melodies do go back several centuries before this, and by the middle of the 9th century, composers were beginning to expand upon them, adding more elaborate sorts of music. There were the tropes, sung within the old chants, and the often melismatic lines known as sequences that were usually added to the end of the Alleluia section of the Mass. And it's here that the subject of today's programme makes his entrance. Well, almost, because we need to set the scene first, and for that we need to go all the way back to the 7th century and an Irish monk named Gallus, or Gall. He established a hermitage in the northeast corner of what's now Switzerland, between Lake Constance and the Alps. After his death, a Benedictine monastery was built on the site, which was to become one of the most important centres for the composition of these tropes and sequences, the Abbey of St. Gall.
Oh, Et
Music for the dedication of the new church of St. Gall in Switzerland, a short responsory, a hymn to the city of Jerusalem, the antiphon and magnificat, and the Benedicamus Domino. The performers were Die Singphoniker, directed by Godehard Joppich. Today, St. Gallen is a bustling town, an independent principality since the 13th century. But back in the late 8th and early 9th centuries, the monastery on which it was founded was a place where arts, letters and sciences flourished, and one of the most important centres in the development of Gregorian chant. There's still an awful lot to learn about what went on. Most of the composers, or musical monks, that is, who lived and worked there, are anonymous. But some of what they produced has survived. Written details about their lives or the lives of their noble ecclesiastical rulers, along with many beautiful illuminated musical manuscripts, making St. Gall a treasure trove almost unparalleled amongst monasteries north of the Alps in its preservation of tropes and hymns from this still mysterious and shady period.
Sinon ore perenni.
Ensemble Gilles Bachois, directed by Dominique Vellard, performing Ardua Spes Mundi by Ratpert, one of the monks from the Swiss monastery of St. Gall, writing during the 9th century. We don't know much about Ratpert, or indeed about any of the composers at St. Gall, but one of the most significant members of the community was a monk called Notke Bulbulus. Details about his early childhood are sketchy, but it's thought he was born around the year 840, not far from the abbey itself. In medieval times, it was customary for the eldest son of a distinguished family to inherit the father's title and property. Notke, however, was the younger son, and he was also a sickly child, too ill, it was said, even to travel much further than the outskirts of his hometown. So he was entrusted to the care of the abbey. Nevertheless, he endeared himself to the monastic community. He was cheerful and interested in everything that went on. In fact, it may be that Notke is the mysterious monk of St. Gall, whose many writings about the myths and legends that surrounded the abbey and its founder made him famous in his day. As well as hours and hours of prayer, it was the custom for the monks to be rigorously schooled in arts and music. And one of the monks responsible for Notke's musical education was called Tuotolo. We're going to hear a piece of music by him now. His chants are characterised by a particularly close relationship between the words and the musical line. This is the choir of St. Gall Cathedral, with his setting of Hodie Cantandus Est Nobis.
Venite, 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 venite
chant setting by the monk Tuotolo, performed by the choir of St. Gall Cathedral, directed by Johannes Fuchs. Well, in a moment we're going to hear the first of three pieces in the programme known to have been composed by Tuotolo's pupil, the monk known as Notka. However, with so little evidence about life in this early period, the 9th and early 10th centuries, we can't be absolutely certain about all the details. In fact, it looks like Notka was quite a common name at the time, and there were several at the monastery with that name, amongst them Notka Medicus, presumably the abbey doctor, Notka Labeo, or the lip, perhaps he was the talkative one of the community, and Notka Teutonicus, or the German, which I guess speaks for itself. Still, one of the names our Notka, the composer of chants and sequences, seems to have given himself is Notka the Stammerer, which does seem a little unflattering, but was probably his own attempt to humble himself before God. On the other hand, he may well have suffered from the condition, because contemporary writings describe him as stuttering of tongue, but not of intellect. And to this day, he remains the patron saint of stutterers and stammerers. But if Notka's speech was hesitant, he certainly made up for it with his quill pen, revealing himself to be a learned and scholarly individual. He wrote, amongst other things, a biography of St. Gall and a volume entitled De Carolo Magno, containing anecdotes about the Emperor Charlemagne, which he presented to the Emperor's great-grandson, a man with arguably an even less flattering name than Notka, Charles the Fat. But Notka truly excelled in music, and not just in continuing the work in the old chants and tropes of his predecessors. This studious figure may well have spent his life incarcerated in a closed religious community, but he was a pioneer of a new, more complex style of devotional music known as the sequence, and it's this to which his name is most strongly linked today.
Expulsis in the super aqua solturus vias lumen tuum expandisi spiritus. Tu animabus vivificandis aquas fecundas, tu aspirandas spiritales esse homines. Tu divisum per linguas mundum et ritus adunasti domine, idolatras ad cultum dii revocans magistrorum optime.
Devotional chant from the Middle Ages, Sequens Sancti Spiritus, a sequence from the late 9th century by the poet-monk of St. Gall Cathedral known as Notke the Stammerer. The singers were Ensemble Ordo Virtutum, directed by Stefan Morent. As we've heard, these sequences, many of them quite long, were sung after the Alleluia section of the Mass, and their text usually referred to the events that were celebrated on a specific feast day. They contained an especially close relationship between text and music. Each syllable matched just one musical note, and each pair of lines or cadences was sung to matching melodies. This created an artful structure that emphasised patterns within the prayers, so that the worshippers could more readily understand and absorb the meaning. Notke's sequences show a surprising originality when they're compared to other similar pieces, where, for example, a later French sequence, especially for the Christmas season, offers in its text the classic Christmas message, all about the nativity and so on. Notke's focuses more on things like hours and days, the solar calendar and the abstract concepts of time and eternity. We're going to hear the singers of Die Singphonica with Notke's sequence for Easter Sunday, Laudes Salvatori.
Laudes Salvatori, voce modulimus obliqui, et effortis melodis celesti domino iubilemus messie, quis in ipsum ex in animi ut mos perdi
Laudes Salvatori for Easter Sunday by the composer known as Notke the Stammerer. The performers were Die Singphoniker, directed by Gotthard Joppich. By the end of the 9th century, Notke had completed his collection of some 50 sequences, and just a few decades later, they began to be widely circulated, adopted in religious institutions throughout the German-speaking realm, and as far as Italy. And they remained a staple part of the liturgy even after the end of the Middle Ages. Nevertheless, there were mixed feelings in Rome about this new material. The authorities were worried that any changes or additions might dilute the old way of singing the liturgy. And in fact, in the mid-16th century, when the Council of Trent brought in reforms to restore the liturgy to its ancient and pure state, the tropes and sequences were removed from both the office and the Mass. And yet they didn't entirely disappear. The sequence for Easter and Pentecost did remain and was included at other times too, particularly if it contained a special text or was very popular. In fact, one example, a late medieval sequence in honour of the new Feast of the Seven Sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary, led to many new settings, such as the one we're going to hear now, written almost 600 years after Notke's death. This is Josquin des Prez's glorious setting of the Stabat Mater.
Thank you.
Philippe Hereweger directed La Chapelle Royale in Josquin's wonderful setting of the Star but Martyr from the early 1500s. Whether Notke actually invented sequences is still a matter of some debate. There are those who believe that the form had Eastern origins, while others think that abbeys in France were already singing sequences long before Notke composed his. But even if the stammerer of the Swiss Abbey of St. Gall wasn't solely responsible, there's no question that the innovative ideas that were so artfully developed by him back in the late 800s continued to reverberate long after his death and inspired complex works of polyphony like the piece we've just heard. In 1512, around the time that Josquin's Star but Martyr was written, Notke was beatified, which just shows how highly he was regarded 600 years after his death, both as a chronicler of his time and as a representative of one of the most important centres of medieval culture. We're going to end today with another of Notke's sequences, this time for the feast day of St. Gall, and the words must surely have had a very personal ring for the monks themselves. Delecte Deo Galle. Thou Gallus, beloved of the eternal God of mankind, thou hast in obedience spurned the goods of the father, the cares of the spouse, and the banter of the child, to remain poor, to follow our Lord. But Christ rewards this 100-fold.
Ensemble Ordo Virtutum, directed by Stefan Marent, in the sequence Delecte Deo Galle by Notke Balbulus. And that ends today's early music show. It was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Salford by Sam Phillips. And from Monday, you can download a podcast version of that edition of the programme. You just go to the Radio 3 website and follow the links to the early music show pages. Well, in a moment, a chance to hear the music of Debussy and Stravinsky. Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring, not though played by an orchestra. This is a revealing two-piano version Stravinsky created for the ballet rehearsals. It's one of the pieces in our lunchtime concert from Wigmore Hall. That's next, here on BBC Radio 3.
On BBC Two.
I, by looking on the praise of him, see riot and dishonour stain the brow of my young Harry.
The rise and fall of a dynasty.
Send danger from the east and to the west. So honour cross it from the north to south, and let them grapple.
Think not, Percy, to share with me in glory anymore. Two stars keep not their motion in one sphere.
Shakespeare Unlocked. The Hollow Crown continues with Henry IV Part 1 tonight at 9 on BBC Two.
Our series of Saturday Classics continues in an hour here on Radio 3. The percussionist Evelyn Glennie will be here. She's playing a series of pieces of music that meant a great deal to her as a young musician, among them pieces that became particularly important to her on her journey as she became the world's first full-time solo percussionist. Music by Beethoven, Rachmaninoff, James McMillan and Bach, amongst others. Saturday Classics begins this afternoon at 3. But next on Radio 3, our lunchtime concert and a second chance to hear last Monday's live broadcast from Wigmore Hall in London. It was introduced by Fiona Talkington.
The most notorious musical event in the year 1913 was surely the riotous reception given to Stravinsky's ballet The Rite of Spring by the Ballet Russe in Paris. Overshadowed by that was another premiere given that season, Debussy's ballet Jeux, or Games, centred, very topically for us this week, around a game of tennis. Today, here at Wigmore Hall, the pianists Jean-Efflant Barbouzet and François-Frédéric Guy, a former Radio 3 New Generation artist, put these works alongside each other in arrangements for two pianos. Jeux, which we're going to hear first, has been arranged by Jean-Efflant Barbouzet himself, based on a rather daunting solo piano part arranged by Debussy for the ballet's rehearsal pianist. But as Jean-Efflant says, Debussy wrote to his publisher in September 1913, referring to a transcription he was completing for two pianos, but the score has never been found. Jeux was Debussy's second ballet. The setting is late one evening in a park near a tennis court. A tennis ball gets lost, and the three dancers, one man and two women, are looking for it. They play, they chase, and they quarrel, until another ball is thrown in by an unknown hand, adding a somewhat sinister touch in the fading twilight. And here now are François-Frédéric Guy and Jean-Efflant Barbouzet to play Debussy's ballet Jeux.